Indeed, the ones who possessed of true faith and are those who believed in Allah and His Messenger, then they did not entertain any doubt and strove hard in the way of Allah with their lives and their possessions. These are the truthful ones. And again, this is the 15th ayat of the 49th surah of the Quran. We say, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's clip by title, again, is definition of a believer. Definition of a believer. Reported hadith from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the messenger of Allah, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, the strong are not those who defeat people. Rather, the strong are those who defeat their own ego. The prophet, peace be upon him, in returning with the companions from a military expedition, is reported to have said, we have come back from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. And they said, is there any greater jihad than jihad against the kuffar? And he said, yes, jihad al-nafs, the jihad against the self. So, alhamdulillah, this is the second khutbah for this chosen ayat. And we're still moving along in our thought pattern of human development. And I believe that our whole life is for us to develop. And when we look at where we are in our lives, we must look at what we need to do to continue to get better at it. And what can we focus on in the areas? Let me rephrase that. We need to look at what we can continue to get better at. And we also need to look at what we need to focus on in places, the areas that we are lacking. And if we did not lack anything, then Allah, in His wisdom, would not have sent prophets, would not have sent those who called mankind back to that original nature, to that understanding, that nature that was lost. He would not have sent scriptures to show us how to regain that nature, right? Our life is to return to Adam, alayhi salam, in our nature, right? But the progression of that is to become the complete human being that we have in the model that ends with the completion in Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So last week, inshallah, we established that this ayat is a definition of what a believer is. The whole of the ayat does that, and even though we only presented the first part of this ayat with some context that came from the previous ayat, the aim of this ayat is to show exactly how to define a believer. This, in turn, is guidance for us to use to get to that place that we want to get to. So I do not plan to redo the last khutbah. There's copies of it. For those didn't hear it and want to get a copy of it, it's on the website. It's on Facebook. But I can say that the first step in this development is to clarify faith. It's clear we can say that the first step in this development of being a believer is faith. And by doing that, then our actions now have to have some direction. Our actions have to go with that clarification that we have. And when I mentioned last week the Aesop fable of the crow and the pitcher, and how the pebbles were used to increase the water inside the pitcher, the pebbles are our deeds. Right? And Allah says that also in the insan lafikusa illa aladina amalu wa amalu sali hati, right? Unless he be of those who attain faith and do good deeds. Right? And I recite that every khutbah. I recite that every khutbah because of the message inside of it for us to go back out into our private lives. Right? It's very important for that. And our deeds are to be in line with our faith. Our deeds need to have faith as the reason we do what we do. But this goes to where this ayah continues. Allah says, and strove hard in the way of Allah with their lives and their possessions. Right? So they strove hard. What jihad do, right? Jihad, right? The common term, or the catchphrase, right? Jihad, right? They express it as strove hard. And the word is always seen to be connected when you hear it. It's always connected to war in most cases, right? And outside of the Quran. And we understand that. But what was the last war that happened in the name of Al-Islam for us? When's the last time we put on our armor, put on our gear, and we went out and we had a war in the name of Al-Islam? So we can't fall into that, right? So when returning, but we have to understand the context of this reporting that I used earlier, in returning from a war, the prophet, to clarify something. He said, we come back from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. Now, he just went to war. They just went out. People, were in danger, losing lives. And so they asked, well, what's bigger than what we just went through? And he said that the jihad, the struggle, the fight inside of yourself is bigger than that. See, the jihad we should focus on is the one inside of our own souls. When the past election, there was a comment that was made that we're in a war for the soul of America, right? While some may want to pick up arms in that war, the real war is how people think, how people act, how people feel. That's the bigger jihad, right? That's the bigger war that we're in a war for. So the prophet, the prayers, peace upon him, was telling us that there's no need to fight for a land. There's no need to fight for power if you're not willing to battle that's on in your inside, in your own self. So whatever happens, say, so like next, the next ruler, you know, you look at history, the next ruler is just as bad as the ones out before. Ain't nothing going to change. And, you know, there's no shame in admitting as a person to, you know, that I'm working on myself. There's no shame in that. That's what life is about. Where we have to come to in our understanding is that it's now that we have believed, now that we have something that should focus us, that should motivate us, that should guide us. Now we have to work on everything that we do to be parallel with that belief. This is why we cannot just let a word like this just be another word that we read. It needs to be a word that we have in our vocabulary with an understanding of exactly what it means and what it means to us. The word jahadda, it means to struggle. It means to toil. And when we're living our lives, we have so much that becomes a struggle. And sometimes we make something in our own lives a struggle for ourselves. This is important to know because the jihad al-nafs is that internal struggle. No one has to know about it, only you do. And Allah, of course. This is why so many say after someone who has decided they commit suicide. They commit suicide. And so many after they have done this, they say, wow, you know, I couldn't tell nothing was wrong with him. He acted so normal. But they were living and having serious issues inside of themselves. And I'm using that example as one way of pointing out that some have some things going on inside of them that doesn't always show on the outside. Allah will not put a burden on us we cannot bear. But we might, and I mentioned this before, but we might put that burden on ourselves. This is what Muhammad, the prayer of peace upon him, was telling us, that we can burden ourselves. We can burden ourselves. In another reporting, he said, verily, the religion is easy. And no one burdens himself in religion, but that it overwhelms him. Right? Follow the right course. Seek closest to Allah. Give glad tidings. Seek help for worship in the morning and evening and part of the night. Now don't think of the religion as just a sometime event. It's the word, right? That's why I use the term way of life. It's not a weekly event. And if whenever somebody might just think of it as a weekly event, then it becomes overwhelming for them just on that. Then you must look at it differently. You got to look at it differently, and you must approach it differently. And if you look at it another way, feeling that it's too hard. Now, the prophet, Prophet Muhammad, just said that it's easy, right? But there's those that think it's too hard. You can't do it. No, I can't do all that. I can't be doing all that. They got all the reasons why they can't do something. then that is another burden that is put in by your own thoughts that can overwhelm you as well. The reason why I believe that the prophet said that is easy is because it's designed by the Creator Allah for us. And he doesn't want to put us to task, right? You've read this in the Quran. I'm not here to put a burden task on you. I'm here to make your life easier. So some may say, well, how is it easy when it's getting up for Fajr is hard? When fasting is hard? When not cussing somebody out is hard? When being patient is hard? Because those are things that this world has made seem like they're restricting you. Or they're burdensome on you. You know, the prophet, again, in his last address, he said, beware of Satan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will be able to lead you astray in the big things. So beware of following him in the small things. Now, when we look at this, and we're still in the definition of a believer, when we look at this, because to be a believer, we have to first have the faith in the proper order and perspective. Then we have to know that we have to look at ourselves. We have to work hard on ourselves. And it's not only the big things, right? We have to look at the little things, right? You know, the little things, they add up. You ever went to the dollar store? And next thing you know, you get to the register and you're spending over $20 and you in the dollar store, because the little things add up. This is why our faith must direct our actions, and direct it how, right? When Allah says, and strove hard in the way of Allah with their lives and their possessions, the expression says the way of Allah first, right? But Allah in the Quran says, bi amwalihim, right? Their possessions. That's what he says first, their wealth. And it means both. But let us see what it means inside of this ayat for us. You know, because wealth can also mean affluence, right? It can mean prosperity, right? While the world would have us put a dollar sign on the word wealth, right? The bottom line is that it means a good life. You well off, right? You well off. Ease. You live a little life of ease, right? So when Allah says that surely with every difficulty comes the ease, right? Fa'inna ma usra yusra, inna ma usra yusra, right? Fa'idhad faraktad fansa wa'ilad rabbikad farga. When every difficulty comes ease, after the difficulty comes ease, but when you get through it, think about your Lord and get back to some more work. Find something else that you're going to struggle to get better at, struggle through. Get back to working on yourself even more. Get to struggling to get even more ease. As I close this first part. Then, in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, he says it's followed by wa anfusihim. Right? Wa anfusihim. And their lives. So when we look at it, and it's expressed their lives, strove hard with their own lives. Strove hard. Like, now, going to war could be a life and death situation. There's no getting around that. But we can see that really living a life, just a regular life in civilian land in this country can be life or death situation too. Giving of your wealth is a difference from those that want to have that good life to a life that may seem difficult for them, right? Because it's difficult to give up some things. But the faith that we believe in gives us the ability to know that I'm doing it for the only reason that matters to me. The willingness to give up possessions and your life means more than just a physical war. It is the willingness to give it up in a spiritual war. Because we live in the realm of spiritual and material. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Amen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, hi rabbil alameen. Definition of a believer. The giving up of our lives, right? Wa anfusihim, right? The word nefs, right? Now, let's look at it in a concrete way. The physical way. That is how, they always, when they do that, they take, like I mentioned earlier, they take jihad and they make it a physical word. And then when they look at life, they make it a physical situation as well. Our nefs, right? Nefesa, right? Our soul, our person, right? It's our spirit. It's our spirit. It's our mind. It's our inner desires or our feelings. Right? That's what it means. This is what we have, right? This is where we have to strive at, right? This is where the jihad is, right? Man Muhammad, right? He said, jihad in al-Islam, it is the struggle within yourself to keep out the bad influences, keep out the bad thoughts, so that you remain peaceful, obedient, respecting your fellow man and his life, and respecting God, right? We have to be willing, in a way, when you say give up your lives, we have to be willing to die from a type of life that does not give us the life that Allah wants for the believer. That's something we have to grab that concept. We have to be willing to die in an abstract way. You have to be willing to die from a life that is not what Allah wants for you. I know knows someone that when they became a Muslim, that person basically said, well, they dead to me now. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want you to say their name. Right? Right? Think of Pharaoh with Musa. Now, I'm just dramatic. It's the movie. But he said, scratch his names out of all everything. And if anybody says his name, it's instant death. When he found out what he found out, Moses died to him. Right? That type of mindset. The abstract death. Not a literal death, but the abstract death. For us, we have to be willing to die from those things that hold us back from what we believe in. We have to struggle inside of ourselves to battle those bad influences. You know, the world under the filter of the shaitan is designed to influence us even when you don't know they're doing it. Right? Subliminal seduction. There was a commercial on. We was watching, I think we was watching the special on Madden or something. They had a commercial. It was a football commercial. And all they did, the whole commercial, they just had words. So as you read the words, they have these words going across. And I'm sitting there saying, it was about football, but it was really about what the words that were coming behind football, they were associating it. And nothing else, no people in it, just a black screen with white words. Strictly to get what they're trying to get out. That's the world under the filter of Shaitan. He's designed to influence you, again, when you don't know. The war is for the soul. And it has been a war from the time that Allah said to the angels, indeed, I will make upon the earth a successive authority. And it was a jinn, right? Allah says that when he told the angels to submit, the angels submitted, but it was a jinn, right? Iblis, that did not want to accept what Allah was going to do. Yes, going to do. Right? The creation of Adam alayhi salam was the beginning of what Allah was designed to do. The caliphate is a recurring event. It's a recurring event. Right? The battle is that every Adam must be willing to give up the things that seem sometimes most dear to him, if it's against what's best for his own soul. And I mentioned in the last khutbah, I said some things are just not good for us, even if we like it. Right? Allah says this, right? Allah tells us in the Quran that we may like something that's bad for us, and we may dislike a thing that is good for us. That's not easy. Sometimes that's not easy. Ask anyone who enjoys something how hard it is just to give it up. Right? Ask someone who's been smoking for 50 years. How hard it is just to give it up. And the most successful ones are the ones that just give it up cold turkey. They don't play around with it. They just give it up cold turkey. Right? And if I'm not mistaken, that was the best way of bringing people into the Nation of Islam, cold turkey. Because that will inside of you all of a sudden said, I can stop that. You got something you believe in that's more stronger than that? I can stop that. They surprised themselves. I know people that's tried to stop smoking. They didn't ate 800 packs of nicotine. They didn't did everything. The patch, the gum, the shot, everything. And said, I still was craving nicotine. Allah tells us in the Quran how we may not like something that's bad for us, but we may like something that's good for us. He tells us that because the struggle is to make what we know good for us something we like. Something we like. You know, even Allah did not do that to the first believers. He didn't come out with everything on the first revelation. He established the faith. Over the years, he established the faith. It was the faith that had to be worked on for years. They said they believed, but faith had not yet entered into their hearts, into their desires, into their lives, entered into their soul. But it takes not just the big declaration to make it mean something. It takes the little things. Again, the little things that make up our lives that if we do not look at as important, then we can let them add up and we can end up not being able to give them up to strive in the way of life that Allah has chosen for us. In the way of life is the way of Allah, right? The sabil Allah, the path of Allah, the path of God is what moves us horizontal, right? It means it move go forward on it. And for us to be in that direction that Allah wants for us to go, then we have to sort of quote unquote start our engine, right? We got to start our engine. You know, turning the key is like that belief. We put the key in the ignition. But you can't go nowhere if you don't turn the key. And now with these new cars, you got to press the button. You got to start the engine. Because if you don't, you're going to stay in the same spot. You're going to be parked. Right? So you have to put it in gear. Once you start the engine, now you got to put it in gear. And you've all heard that. Something's going on with somebody. They need to get something straight. And they get told, well, you better get it in gear. You need to get in gear and get that done, right? Get it moving. Allah is telling us that for those who have believed, now we must be willing to give up all those things that we value if they do not put us in the direction He guides us. And we have to get it in gear. We have to get it in gear. When you think about it, there has to be a reason why you do what you do, right? This is what the sabil Allah is. If someone asks you, why do you live this way of life? I live it because it is the way of life that God has chosen for us. He has perfected for us. It's the life that leads to my Creator. And we must stand up in that nature, right? We have to stand up in that nature. So the ikama, right? Kama, right? That path that moves our nature on the mustaqim, which stands us up, which moves us upright, then we have to move forward on the sabil Allah. So we have to stand up in that nature first, right? In anthropology, they said we turned into apes, right? And then we came back and we stood back up. That's what they said, you know. This was before I was a Muslim. I was sitting there looking at this stuff like it was crazy. I was like, what? You cannot gain. Sabil Allah means to access something, right? You cannot gain what Allah has for us if we do not get on the path that has us there, that brings us there. You have to access what is best for us. best for our lives, which means best for our souls. Again, when we look at what our possessions are, right? Naturally, it just begins materially. But the faith we have secured will give us the ability to realize that the most important possession we have is not material, but the fact that we've come to learn who our Creator is, who our Sustainer is, who is the one who has control over everything and everybody. Right? That's worth more than anything they could put in your bank account. Because we all know your bank account don't go with you. But your faith can. That's a possession that can never be taken. They can never take that possession, right? Even if they put a rock on your chest in the midday of summer heat like they did Bilal alayhi salam. It can never change. It cannot change how we feel, right? He was an owned slave, right? But his owner understood that even though he owned, quote unquote, the body, there was still something he could not own. And that was his soul. But what did they want to do? They wanted to break his will. They wanted him to give up his soul. That's what they want, right? That is where the jihad is. Do not think that the shaitan would not attack your soul. Understand that if the soul is not where it needs to be, then the other things will lead it further away. Why would Allah use terms such as path, road? I'm using the expressions. But for us to understand them, path, road, way, cause, reason. If there was not a meaning of a direction or a purpose in what he's trying to get us to understand. We can stand on any road, but if our soul does not believe that this is the right direction or for the right reason, it will not go anywhere. You're right? You've been driving, you're just like, man, just feel like I'm going the wrong way. It's your soul. You know, unfortunately, this is why so many we know are still in the same place we left them years ago. Right? We've left friends doing this and doing that years ago, and they're still doing it. No growth. Stagnant. Right? This is why Al-Islam is designed for growth. This is why Allah says your life parallels the lives of plants. Growth. The month of Ramadan is a month of growth. We speak of what we believe in, right? The month of fasting is designed for our growth. Ramadan means purification, right? Our life in Al-Islam is to purify us, right? Our belief in zakat is so important because it purifies us. This is why at the end of the ayah, Allah says, these are the truthful ones. Now this word, sadiqun, in the ayah is sadaqah, right? Sadaqah, right? It means truth. It means to be sincere. The prophet said that the deen is nasiya, right? It's sincerity. He said to Allah, his book, his messenger, and the leaders of the Muslims and the community, right? The deen, al-Islam, is truth. It comes from al-haq, the truth, the reality, the only reality. For someone to be a believer, they must have a belief in the truth. So much so that they're willing to live a life of truth. But they say you can't live a life of contradiction. You can't live a lie. The sadaqah is our opportunity to do something that is from the bottom of our hearts, right? We do it from our souls, right? Zakat is mandated. But sadaqah is something you give all you want to give because it's based on the truth. I'm doing it based on what I want to do. I want to do all I can. We cannot just say we believe and we walk around dropping catchphrases. We sound the part. We look the part. Because the truth has to be in us. Right? You know, Aesop had a fable by the fox and the leopard. And the fox and the leopard, they were disputing which one was more beautiful of the two. So the leopard kept showing all his spots, saying, look how beautiful I am, all my spots. And the fox cut him off. He said, you know, how much more beautiful than I am you, right? Because I am decorated not on the body, but I'm decorated inside my body. I'm decorated in my soul. The moral of the story is people cannot be judged by their coats, right? We can look at our lives and see the spots and see these are things that I've done that make me a believer. Those things may not have been done with a true sense of being a believer. I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying. But doing something, we're talking about tzedakah, we're talking about truth. So doing something out of guilt doesn't mean it was done truthfully. But it is those things on the inside that no one sees, right? But God. That's what makes us a real believer. We won't be judged by the kufi. We won't be judged by the prayer rug. We'll be judged on how truthful we are in our actions. Right? See, the purpose, again, of zakat is to make us pure. This is why, again, we can give tzedakah, because that's an effort. Time. It's acceptable. And for some, it's all they can give. It's all they can give. But it is done with the pureness of the soul. It is that being willing to give of what is important to you that makes you a believer. And thus makes you truthful to your own soul. It makes you truthful to your own soul. See, Allah did not create us to be unjust to our own self. The damage we do to our own soul is self-inflicted. There's no one to blame but ourselves, right? The shaitan, he said that, hey, I only suggested, I only influenced you, but you made the decision on your own. See, to be a believer, we have to speak the truth, right? We're talking about tzedakah. Our actions have to be the truth in all things, the little things. We have to progress to this state. Understanding what the definition of a believer is only helps us realize what needs to be worked on, what needs to be battled more, what struggles we have left in our lives. You know, our lives could be just like that leopard. Some people just want to show off spots, right? But it does not make them make us any better than anyone else on the inside, right? The inside that the fox spoke of was our soul, right? Even some of the most heinous individuals give the worthy causes. They have foundations, right? Spots, just spots. They say you have the spots on your lungs, right? It's not a good thing. Spots that don't mean nothing, that have no worthiness, don't mean anything. Because inside of our soul is darkness, right? The fajr, right, is dark. But it's darkness with the ability to be lightened up, right? But it also has the ability to stay dark. Our soul has the ability to stay dark. But the believer will be bright on that day, and the disbeliever will be dark. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran. The leopard bragged about the spots. The fox lived the truthful life. And inside of that truthful life we want is how we become believers based on the definition that Allah has given us in the Quran. So I end this for today. And I'm encouraging the reading of this ayat. All right. That's 49:15. I'm encouraging the reading of this surah 49. I'm encouraging the reading of the Quran. I can go all day tell you about what I'm encouraging you to read. All right, but I'm encouraging the reading, period. Reading more. Learning more. Because there's still a lot more to unpack. If we go bit by bit, now, inshallah, in the future, we'll address more. So we can get, so, and as we get into the new year on this calendar, right? Let us look at being better at what pleases Allah. And let us learn to leave alone that displeases Allah. And let us take the definition of a believer and work to be true to it. Now, inshallah, I have given something the benefit of the day, which all praise due to Allah. And may we have pleased Allah in this effort. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka as-sami'ul 'alim. O our sustainer, accept thou this from us, for verily thou alone art all hearing, all knowing. Ameen.